Okay, we're going to start here, six lines up from the bottom on Chav Dalet Amud Bet. Just to review quickly what we left off with yesterday, which was Bamei Mapisin. What clothing did they wear when they threw the lots? Nachman Amar Bebigdei Chol, that they did it in their weekday clothing. Sheshet Amar Bebigdei Kodesh, they did it in their Bigdei Kehuna. Nachman Amar Bebigdei Chol, the Amar Bebigdei Kodesh, because if they were already dressed in their Bigdei Kehuna, Ike Balei Zeraot, the Chamsei V'Avdei, you have a problem with the bullies or the strong men who are going to come in. If they already have their big day kuna on, they're not going to wait for the lots. They're just going to go in and do the aboda and push their way in. So how do we prevent that? We make sure that they are wearing big day chol and they can't get in to do the aboda until they've qualified or gone through the lots. Sheshet amar be big day kodesh. It's the other way around. They were wearing their big day kuna. Di amar be big day chol. If they're wearing their weekday clothing, agav chavivute mikru ba'avdei. Because it's so beloved to them, the aboda, they're so excited. Right after the lots, the guy's going to take off to do the aboda, and he's not going to be wearing his big day kahuna. And that's going to be a problem. So we want them dressed so that they can immediately go from the lots to doing their avoda. Amar Rav Nachman Mena Amin Allah. How can I prove to you that I'm right? It's none. The Mishnah and Tamid, Masrun the Chazanim, gave them over to the Chazanim. Vayu Mafshitim Otam Big Dayam. They used to strip them down. Vayu Menichim Alayam Elam Knesayim Bovad. They only leave them in their shorts, their knickers, their pants. That was the only thing they were wearing. My love, both tanches zachu the pais. It sounds like these people won the lottery or won the lots. They were the ones who he's stripping down. Why is he stripping them down? He's taking off the big day chol and he's having them put on their big day kehuna. Some Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshet. Lo, that's not the case. Both tanches lo zachu the pais. People are getting stripped down here. Are the people who lost the lots and they no longer need their big day kehuna. Chinami mistavro. That makes a lot of sense because these akadat both tanches zachu the pais. If you think it's the people that actually won the lot, how can you say that all they left on them were their knickers? We just learned this. That how do you know that you can't put anything else on before you put on the mechnesayim of the big day kahuna? That's the first thing on. That's what we said by the Shumat Adesh. And why did it bring down mechnesay body you al bisaro? To teach you that the mechnesayim have to be the first thing that you put on. So if that's the case, why is he stripping them down of everything except for the mechnesayim? That means that take all their clothes off, they're left wearing their mechnesayim of chol, put on their big day kahuna, and then they swap out their mechnesayim, which means the last thing they're putting on of the big day kahuna is their mechnesayim. So that makes no sense. That's why it makes more sense to say that they were stripping them down of their big day kahuna, then they put on their big day chol, and then they took off the mechnesayim and swapped into their mechnesayim of chol. Beidach, how's Rav Nachman going to explain this? Halokasha achiktani. While they're still wearing their weekday clothing, malbishin otam mechnesei kodesh. It's the other way around. What they did was, they used to switch over their mechnesayim. While they're still wearing their big day chol, they take off the mechnesayim, put on the mechnesei kodesh, the big day kahuna. Then, vayu mafshitim otam big day chol. Then they strip down the rest of the big day chol, vayu manichim elam mechnesayim bilvad. And then they only had the mechnesayim on. So in order to prevent them from having to be naked at any time, they switched out the mechnesayim first. And after they switched out the mechnesayim, then they stripped down the big day chol and then put on the big day kahuna. Amar Rav Sheshet Bina Aminolo. Where can I prove it for to you that they were wearing big day kodesh? Titania, because we have a bright Lishkata Gazit, Kamin Basiliki Gedola Haita. It was a large basilica. The Greek word for basilica is basiliki. It's not clear here when the Gemara says basilica, what exactly of the features of a basilica it's referring to in Lishkata Gazit. We assume that it's a large room, probably has two levels, and might have to do with the shape a little bit, but that's probably what they're referring to in terms of a basiliki gedola. Pais b'mizracha. They used to do the lots on the eastern side of this large room. B'zaken yoshev b'marava. On the western side, you had someone seated. V'akohanim mukafim v'omdim. The kohanim used to come around in a circle. Kamin. And we had this word in shkalim as well. Not clear what the girsa should be. The girsa that Rashi has is b'chuliar, which is something round. It's a type of jewelry, a type of circular object. That's b'chuliar. But if you look on the side, you can see that b'chuliar, which would mean that they were in more of a spiral form rather than a circular form. But that means that they're standing around. The mumuneh we saw before was the person who was charged of doing the lots. and took care of this. And he took off the mitznefet of one of them. And they know that the count started from this individual. That's how you know where to start. And he pulls off the mitznefet of that individual. So the Gemara says, if you're talking about big dechol, mitznefet, big dechol, meika. Then why are you talking about a mitznefet? Mitznefet is only relevant when you're talking about big day kodesh, a big day kihuna. Where it says it? No, there is such a concept. Kedatani Rav Yehuda, Vitim Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Kohen Shastalo Imo Ktonet, or a mother who makes her child a Ktonet, Ovid Ba Ovidat Yachid. He's allowed to wear it. You're allowed to utilize it. Then you could have what he called personal big day kihuna that were made by your mom. That was okay. As Rashi explains over here, because that's Larot Tiferet Oshran, to show off their wealth, Benoy Melachtan, and the beauty of their making, v'kamein mehadrot mitzvot, and how they used to do it. It's a hidur mitzvah. So they used to make something beautiful for their children in order to do the melacha and the mikdash. So they were permitted to use it for avodat yachid, as opposed to avodat zibur. The Gemara later on, on Lamed Hei Amud Bet, the Rishonim there discuss what that means in terms of avodat yachid versus avodat zibur. There, the Gemara talks about hasarat ha-machta, taking the machta out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. In addition, the Gemara qualifies the statement. It says that he has to be mosram litzibur. He has to give them over to the tzibur to be owned. Now, in this instance, what's interesting is that he's wearing them as he comes in. So either you have to say that's the first time that he's wearing them, or that the mothers used to make them these big day kuhuna, or simulations of the big day kuhuna, that they wore as big day chol, in order to acclimate, quote-unquote, train them to be in big day kuhuna, or to give them a certain amount of standing, even when they were outside the mikdash, that they wore these kawazai big day kuhuna. And that's why he has a mitznefet on, even though it may not be big day kuhuna. So in the end, there was cases where you could have an individual who was dressed in their big day kuhuna, even though they were not the big day kuhuna of the mikdash. So that's possibly what we're talking about, the mitznefet over here. Similar to what we have in the Navi by Shmuel HaNavi, that his mother Chana makes him a cloak all the time. He used to bring him up to him, that she dressed him, she took care of him, she was ensuring that he was dressed properly for his position. It's interesting here, Tosafot has brought this up before as well. He brought it up before when we're talking about what's the difference between the clothing of the big day Kohen Gadol and the big day Kohen Hejot. Brings it up here again, based on the Riva. The Riva is an opinion that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hejot wore different types of hats. That the Kohen Hejot wore a mikbat, and the Kohen Gadol wore a mitznefet. And that the mikbat of the Kohen Hejot was longer and wider, whereas the mitznefet was shorter and narrower for the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol also had to wear the tzitz and his tefillin. So he had to have a smaller hat to fit on. And the mikbat of the Kohen Hejot was larger, because they didn't have that challenge. So Tosfot over here says, well, this Gemara is a proof that he's wrong, because over here it says that we're talking about the lots of the Kohen Hejotot, and it calls it a mitznefet, not a mikbat. The Tosfot in the end says, don't come to that conclusion, because Lashon Torah Levad, Lashon Gemara Levad. You're right, the Torah distinguishes between mikbat and mitznefet. The Gemara doesn't make that distinction, doesn't use the name. When they say mitznefet, they mean the generic hat, but it doesn't tell you the difference between the hat of the Kohen Hejot and the Kohen Gadol, and you can still maintain that difference according to the Riva, that the Kohen Hejot and Kohen Gadol wore different types of hats. Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, from this you can conclude, first of all, Lishkada Gazit, Chesia B'Kodesh, V'Chesia B'Chol. Half of it was in the Kodesh, half of it was in the Chol. We do know this because we mentioned before with regards to the Sanhedrin sitting in there, that the Sanhedrin itself sat on one side of it, which was the Chol side of it, and then the plaintiffs, the defendants, were on the other side, which was the Kodesh side, because we're going to see in a second again, there's no yeshiva in the Azara. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara. So in order for the Sanhedrin to sit, they'd have to be on the Chol side. Those that are coming before the Sanhedrin have to stand anyway, so them being in the Kodesh is not an issue. From here he says, we have another proof that it's half Kodesh, half Chol. It's clear that there are two doorways in here, because Echad Batuach B'Kodesh, Echad Batuach B'Chol. One of them open to the Kodesh, one of them open to the Chol. I'm going to explain this in one second. If it's all in the Kodesh, Zakein Yoshev B'Marava. Over here we had that there was a Zakein sitting on the western side. Why is there a Zakein, a Beit Din, who is overseeing the process here? Why is he sitting on the western side? He should be standing, if that's the case. The fact that he's sitting shows you that it's Chetzio Chol. V'amamar En Yeshiva B'Zerah L'Machei Beit David Bilvad. Only the kings of the lineage of David are allowed to sit in the Azara, and obviously the Zakein is not one of those. So why is he sitting? If you think it was all in the chol, pious be mizracha, then why are you doing the lots on the eastern side? Va'abi inon, so at the end of yesterday's daf, the Beit Elokim na'aleich b'ragish, that you have to keep the commotion and the noise going in the mikdash, and that was the reason that we did numerous lots every day in order to keep things active. So it sounds like there's a lot going on in the mikdash. You're doing this in the chol, that's not in the mikdash anymore. So look, that doesn't qualify. So must be that the part where they're doing the lots is kodesh, and the part where their zakein is sitting down is in the chol. If you think it only has one doorway to enter, and it enters into the kodesh, then zakein yoshev b'marava. How could there be a zakein sitting down? Batanan. L'shkot abniyot b'chol. The chambers that are built in the chol outside of the azara, uptuchot the kodesh, but they open up into the azara, tochan kodesh. They qualify as being kodesh. V'isagadacha b'tuach the chol. If you think it's open up into the chol, pa'iz b'mizrachot, then why are you doing the lots on the eastern side? Batanan. B'niyot b'kodesh. Even if the chambers built in the kodesh inside, internally to the azara, uptuchot the chol, but the only exit is out to the chol, then tochan chol. So whichever way the doorway opens, that's what determines the status of the chamber. So if it was open to the chol, it would be chol. If it's open to the kodesh, it would be kodesh. And we want it to be half and half. Well, the only way you can have it be half and half is if you have one door open to the kodesh, and one door that's open to the chol. So that's how he concluded that you have one doorway open to the kodesh, one door open to the chol. The chamber itself is half kodesh, half chol. And that's how we solve the problem here. The pious, the lots we're doing on done on the kodesh side of the lishka, and the zakein that's sitting down is on the western side. So he's sitting on the part that is chol, and that's how we solve all the problems. But that's why Abaye comes to that conclusion from the statements that we made, that this must be the setup or the nature of the lishkat hagazit. Tosafot over here discusses in general what happened to the Kohanim who had to eat their Kodshei Kodashim inside the Azara. How did they do that? They eat standing up. They're not from Machut Beit David, so how did they sit down inside the Azara? So he distinguished, Tosafot over here says that when we say people can't sit down, that means that if they don't have a purpose in sitting down, purpose meaning avoda, if it's not part of the avoda, then they can't sit down. But the Kohanim eating the Kodashim is part of the avoda, because it says, because the Kohanim have to eat the Korbanot in order to provide kapara for the Balim, the owners of the Korbanot. So part of the process is to eat it. So if that's part of the Korban, they were permitted to sit down and eat the Korbanot or the Kodshei Kodashim there. It wasn't considered respectful to eat standing up. That's number one. Number two is, Tosafot brings another reason, which is that we know by the Kodashim that you have to have them lamoshcha. They have to be like gdula. You have to eat them the way that royalty would eat them. And royalty doesn't stand up and eat. They sit down when they're eating. So the assumption would be that the Kohanim had to eat their korbanot in the same way. And that might be also a imperative for them to sit down, because they have a tzivoy, which is the mashcha. You have to treat it like royalty would eat kodashim. That's the way they have to eat it. So that'd be the same thing over here. So Tosfot over here asks an interesting question, which is that the Gemara concludes here that the lishkat hagazit had to be half kodesh, because otherwise you wouldn't have Beit Elokim Nahalech Birogesh. You wouldn't qualify. So if that's the case, why don't you just do it in the Azara? Why are you doing it inside of the lishkat hagazit when you can do it out in the Azara? It gives two answers. One, Umar Imran Tam, Denotel Mitznefet Shal Echad Mehem, Genayhu, Lamod Belo Mitznefet Bazara. You're taking the hat off of one of them, so how could you be there without a yarmulke on? How could he be there without his hat on inside the Azara? The Rabbeinu Tam says that it would be inappropriate to be in the Azara and not have your Mitznefet on. So then number two, he says, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Baruch Perish, because if you stand in a circle inside the Azara, that means that a portion of them have their back to the Kodesh or the Kodesh or Kodeshim. And that's what would be inappropriate. You don't want to have a circle of individuals with some of them having their back towards the west. So because of that, they did it in the side chamber in the Lishkat HaGazit that was Kodesh, so they wouldn't have that problem. So those are two reasons why they didn't do it in the Azara itself, and they did it in one of the side chambers. The next Mishnah, this is the Pais Hasheni, the second lot that was drawn on the day. And this determines Mi Shochet, Mi Zorek, who does the Shchita, who does the Zrikat Adam from the Korban HaTamid, Mi Medashen Mizbeach Pnimi, who clears off the coals from the Mizbeach HaZahav, Mi Medashen at the Menorah, who clears up and fixes up the Menorah. So that's four items. Then, Mi Ma'aleh Evarim LeKevesh. And who takes the pieces of the Korban Tamid that have to get onto the Mizbeach, who takes them from wherever they take them apart to the ramp. Now we have the list of the items that are done. The first one is a Rosh V'Regel. The first Kohen takes the head and the right hind leg. Shtei Adayim, the second Kohen takes the two forelegs. The third Kohen takes a Oketz V'Regel. He takes the hind, the left leg, and the Oketz, which is the tail, and that part that's connected to the hind leg, the hips that would connect to it. Fourth one takes the chazeh v'agera, which is the fats of the chest area, and the gera in the throat, and the simanim, that area. Number five takes shtei adpanot, the two sides, the two flanks of the animal. Number six takes the kirbayim, which are the innards, the intestines. The seventh one takes the solet, which is the flour for the mincha that goes with it. The eighth one takes the chavitim of the kohen gadol that goes along right after the Korban Tamid. And number nine takes the yayin, which is the nisach yayin that goes along with it. Shlosha asar kohanim zachu bo. 13 kohanim were involved here. Nine have to do with the parts of the body, and then four before them, so that's 13 of them. Amar ben Azai lifnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Yeshua derech hiducho hayakarev. It's put on the mizbeach the way it walks. So the Gemara will come back and discuss this more extensively about exactly what he means. Zibayiluhu. Hashem might be seen la abudah. At might be seen. When they threw lots for one winner. Or maybe they threw lots for each individual. You have 13 individuals over here who are going to participate. Do they throw 13 separate lots here? Or do they throw one lot, and the individual who won, the next 13 or 12 people to his right would be chosen? How do they do this? Tashma, arba, paisot, ayusham. Said before that there were four lots per day in the Mikdash. If you have this, you can then have many more than four. It says, v'isagadatcha d'chol avodahim episin tuvavu. There's more. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Achi Kamar Arba Pe'amim Nichlasim Lapis. You don't have to say there were only four lots. It's four times they gathered to throw lots. Then within each one of those gatherings, there were sub-lots that took place. So the Chol Chad V'Chada Yubatu V'Paisot, and each one of them had multiple lots that were thrown. Tashma Rav Yehuda Meir Loya Pais Lemachta. There was no pais for the machta. El Kohen Shezachah B'Ktoret Omer Lezeshi Imo Zcheimi B'Machta. You should come along with me and take the Machta. When it came to the Ketoret was the third pious, which we're going to get to. The third pious is only Chadashim, only people who never did it before can come. The person who was Zochet to win the lot to take the Ketoret, which was a big schut because it was a skula, the ashrut, for wealth, and therefore everybody wanted to do it, and that's why you only did it once in your life, probably, and why they only brought in the new ones to do the Ketoret. Once he was Zochet, he brought in the Ketoret to put on the Mizbeach Zahav. But they also had to put coals on the Mizbeach Zahav to burn the Ketoret. So part of that was to take a machta, the pan, to scoop coals from the Mizbeach Chitzon and put them on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Once he won the Ketoret, he says to the guy next to him, come and do it, you get the Machta with me. So here you see that they didn't throw a separate lot for the Machta, that the next person next to him got it. Where it says, Shani Machta uKetoret Dechad HaAvodahi. The Machta and the Ketoret are different because they are a single Avoda. It's one Avoda, like on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol, when he takes the Ketoret into Lefnai V'Lifnim, he takes the Machta with him and he takes the Ketoret. He does both. He does everything. So it's really one avoda. Just we're splitting it up so that it makes it easier on the Kohen Gadol because he doesn't have to do it all by himself.
Some people say no. The Machta and the Ketoret is the only one where we do this.
Other avodot require a lottery. So the first answer is Shani Machta Viktoret, that it's Chada Avodahi. And that's why they did not get separated and he picks the guy next to him.
Or according to Tosafot, Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Kohen himself could do both of the Avodot. He can choose to do both the Avodot, or he can pick someone else to help him along with it. But that's why Rabbi Yehuda differs from the Tanakhama, and that's why the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda rather than the Tanakhama, because Rabbi Yehuda really says it's a dealer's choice in terms of who does the Ketoret.
On the other hand, Ikedamrei Davka Machta Ketoret Echad Avodahi. The other Lashon says it more explicitly, which is, because it's one Avodah, but a Shar Avodot, Ba'u Pais. And they require a pais. Then machta itzrichalei. And machta, I have to specifically tell you that it's not that way. Why? Since it's not so common. And it makes the people rich. It should have its own separate pais. Mashman that they didn't do that.
So from Rabbi Yehuda's statement about that there was no pais by the machta, We want to infer from that that when you have shtei avodot, you don't have a second pious. The Gemara said at first, shiny machtak toret echad avodai, that is not the case because machta and ketoret are really one avodah. Then the Gemara proposes a ikadamri, another lashon that says that only by machta and ketoret do we say echad avodai, but by other avodot, you would require a separate pious. The Gemara rejects that again and says no. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda singled out the machta is because we would have had a havamino that it should get a separate pious because of its unique standing in terms of the infrequency of it taking place, plus the fact that it is a skula for wealth. So because of those two things, the Gemara says we would have thought that you should have done a separate pious, mashbalan, that we don't do a separate pious for the ketoret and the machta. But that doesn't teach you, or you can't infer or extrapolate from that to any other avodot. So now we're back to square one, which is we don't know whether other avodah requires a separate pious or not.
Then Tashma, the Tani Rabbi Chia, the Lolo Chol Avodah Avodah Mapisin, Ela Kohen Shezachah Betamid, 12 Echav HaKohenim Nimshachim Mimal Shema Mina. Now we have a bright that's explicit from Rabbi Chia that says that one pious was thrown, whoever won, the 12 individuals next to him were chosen to help him out with the Korban HaTamid. So here you have an answer. There is only one pious here, not multiple piousot. Alright, next Gemara, pious HaSheni. Yibalu, Mi Mikabel. Who does Kabbalat Adam? It's interesting that our Mishnah leaves out one of the avodot here, which is says Mishochet, who does the Shechita, and then Mizorek, who does the Zrikat Adam. Leaves out who does the Kabbalat Adam. So the assumption is got to be somebody in that list. The two people that would be qualified would be either the Shochet does the Kabbalat Adam, or the Zorek does the Kabbalat Adam. One of those two. So Shochet Mikabel, Diyamad Zorek Mikabel, Agab Chavirutei, Lo Mikabel Edekule Adam. But do we say the Shochet does the Kabbalat Adam? Because if we give it to the one who's doing the Zrikat Adam, he's in such a hurried state, he's so excited to do this, he's going to take off before he collects all the blood. And you have to collect all the blood before you go to the Mizbeach. Odilma Zorek Mikabel, Diyamar Shochet Mikabel. Maybe the Zorek should do the Kabbalat Adam, because if you say the Shochet's doing it, Zimnin the Shochet Zar. Problem is that sometimes the Shochet is a Zar because there's no requirement of Kuhuna for the Shechita. And then you have a problem here, because the Shochet cannot do the Kabbalat Adam, because Mikabalah Veilech is Mitzvat Kuhuna. Tashma Fen Katin, Asa Yudbet Dad the Kior. He made 12 taps to the kiyor. So that the 12 kohanim that were involved with the korban atamid would be able to wash in one shot. If you think the shochet does the kabbalah, then he's doing real avoda. If he's doing real avoda, then he would have to wash as well. Our Mishnah enumerates 13 people that are involved in the korban atamid. Why are there only 12 taps if you're dealing with 13 people? The answer is that the shochet doesn't have to do the nitilat yadayim, he doesn't have to go to the kiyor because he's not doing real avodah. Shechita is kosher bizar. But if the shochet is also asked to do the kabbalat adam, then he is doing real avodah and he would have to wash. That means 13 people would need to wash at once. So why do you only put it on 12 taps? Lav shema mina, zarek mikabel shema mina. It's the zarek that does the kabbalat adam, and that's why there are only 12 taps. Amalei ravacha braid derova leravashi afanan namitanina. We have that in the Mishnah and Tamid as well, with Shachat HaShochet, the Kibel HaMikabel, Ovalo, Lizrok. The Shochet does the Shechita, the Mikabel does the Kabbalah, and then he goes and does the Zrikat Adam, Shema Mina. It's pretty clear that the Mikabel is the one who is Zorek. Amar Ben Azai, Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, so this is the tail end of the Mishnah. Tana Banan, Ketza Derech Hilucho. What does that mean, Derech Hilucho? So the Gemara says, Arosh V'Aregel. Now even though that's not Derech Hilucho, because the Rosh, yes, is the first thing that would go if it walks that way, but the regal is the hind right leg. So that's certainly not derech hilucho. The Gemara will show us in the Psukim why the Gemara says the Rosh and the regal always go first, according to all the opinions. We have numerous opinions over here how you break the pieces up and take them to the Mizbeach. But all of them begin with Harosh V'Aregel, and that's based on the Psukim. Hachazeh V'Agera. Next would be the chest and the simanim, the neck. Ushtei Yadayim, then would be the four legs. Ushtei Dinfanot, and then the two flanks. Oketz V'Aregel, and then the other hind leg and the tail area, the hind quarters. So that would be the order if you were doing it Derech Hiluchol, if you were doing it the way it walks. way walks means you can just look at an animal. You start from the front, the head, into the shoulders, and all the way to the back. Rabbi Yossi Omer Derech Hefsheto Ayakarev. They did it the way that they flayed it. That's how they took the pieces apart. Ketsa Derech Hefsheto. What is the order of Hefshet? So again, Rosh Varegel, that's certainly not the case. The Rosh and the Regel are first, but again, that's because of Gzerat HaKetuv, that the Rosh and Regel go first. Then you would do the Oketz Varegel. You do the hindquarters, because when you flay from the rear to the head, because you hang it upside down, and you flay down towards the chest area. So therefore, you would take the Oketz, the rear, the hindquarters, plus the left hind leg, Ushtei Defanot, and then the two flanks, Ushtei Adayim, then the two forelegs, and then the Chazev de Gira, and then the chest, and the fats of the chest, and the simanim, the throat area, the neck area. The way that it was quartered, that's the way that you would be makriv it. How do you chop up the animal? Harosh v'aregel, again, rosh v'aregel, which is not necessarily relevant, because again, it's gzeret ha-ketuv. Then, shtei yadayim, the two forelegs, hachazeh v'agera, then you do the chest fats and the neck area, shtei tefanot, the two flanks, v'oketz v'aregel, and then the rear area. Yosef lilimo derech iluya v'yakarev. It's put up in the way that's best, in that the best comes first. Ketsa derech iluyav. What is the best? Harosh v'aregel. Again, starting out with the rosh and the regel. Then hachazeh v'agera, the chest area, the chest fats, and the neck. Shtei defanot, the two flanks. V'oketz v'aregel. And then the hindquarters with the rear left leg. Shtei yadayim, then the two forelegs. Vaktiv, is that really true, that those are the finest or the best pieces of meat? Doesn't it say in Yechezkel, when he's giving a mashal to tell to the people, he says, put up a pot, and the bone etach tov, put in the best of the choices of the meats there. Yorech v'katev, the thigh and the shoulder. So when it says, hayi b'chusha, that's in a weaker animal or a smaller animal, then the thigh and the shoulder have the most meat on them, and that's what you want to put in. But on the other hand, when you're cutting up a large animal that has lots of meat, the order that we just gave before, that is the order of what's the best parts of the animal. Amarava, bentana didan, uben Rabbi Yossi, but whether our Tana of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is not mentioned here. None of the opinions here accord with the order in our Mishnah. Uben Rabbi Yossi, Batar Iluya de Bisra Azlina. We go by the best of the meat. Marazo Batar Ivra de Bisra, Marazo Batar Shmena de Bisra. One of them goes by the size of the meat, and one of them goes by the fat of the meat. In their day, fatty meat was considered to be the best meat. One of them is telling us how to go by the Shmana, by the fattest of the Evarim, and the other one is going Batar Ivra de Basra, the thickness, the amount of meat on that piece. So that's a ton of didan, goes by that, by the size of the Evarim. And Rabbi Yossi goes after the fatness that was, or the fat content of the meat. How come the regel, the hind, the right leg, goes with the rosh? Shundereshin the fish should be at samot, because the head has lots of bones in it, meaning it has the skull. The regel goes with it. So whether that was to increase the fire, meaning to make it easier to burn, so they had something that of substance to burn with it, or fat to go with it, or it's just derech kavod, meaning that if you're going to present something to Hashem, if you present the head, which is the front, but you also want to present something that is of significance, which is the rear hind leg. So those were brought together. It's not clear which of those two it is, but because of that, they brought the leg together with the head. Now we know why the regel goes with the rosh, so now we know where they're together. I have to explain to you why the rosh goes first, according to everyone, and that's Buyama, it's clear from all these opinions, Miat, the Rosh Karev Beresha, that the Rosh goes first. Minola, how do we know that's the case? Titania, Minai the Rosh, Upader, Shekodmin, the Chole Varim. How do we know that the head and the fats go first? Tamil Omar, Et Rosho, Vet Pidro, Varach. It tells you that the Rosh and the Pader, and then Varach, you set them up on the Maracha. So they're the first items to go. V'idach, Padar Achrina Lamayato. We also have the word Pader that shows up in another pasuk, which is at the Netachim, at the Rosh Veta Pader. What does that come to teach you? The Netanya, Ketzari Yoseh, how did he do this? Tain Eta Pader Abeta Shchita. And you put the fats on top of the area of where it was Shechted, Umaleu. And then he brings them up, Zeu Der Kavocho Mala. And that was the proper etiquette or the proper way to present it. Because the neck, when you shech the animal, the neck is covered in blood and has the simanim hanging out. So how do you make it nice? You take the head and then you put the fats on top of the area where it was shechted, so it covers up that blood in that area which isn't so pleasant, then you bring them up to the Mizbeach. So that's what the Pader comes to teach you, that the Pader goes together with the Rosh. So we have the Rosh and the Pader, which is clearly the first. And that's why in all these opinions here that the Rosh goes first. Okay, we'll stop over here. All right.